morning and welcome to Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan and I'm back. I wasn't here on Thursday, Friday, and I'm flying solo today. And I know it's just not the same without me here. So good to be back. I'm gonna go through the headlines a little bit and then we're gonna have a little chat, just you and I. I'm gonna be talking to myself. No, I'm gonna be talking to you guys, and I really appreciate you guys, and I'm gonna tell you why right after I go through the headlines. Pavel Durov, we love following Pavel, and a clip resurfaced from his Tucker Carlson interview. It's a pretty interesting one. He talks about why he doesn't believe in owning big assets, at least for himself. And then we're going to talk about amortization in the private sector. Is it actually working? We hit a record 100,000 Emiratis in the private sector, but is it actually working? We're going to talk about that next. And then you don't need to list to prove you're number one. That's according to an investor in Tabby, and he was taking a dig at Rasan. So that's an interesting one. Love me a little bit of business rivalry. I think we all love a little bit of that. It puts on a good show. We'll get to that in today's episode as well. And then last but not least, Sedwa's crisis management after that $122,000 fine. We're going to talk about that. But firstly, I want to tell you why I appreciate not only our listeners, but also followers on social media. I don't have a big profile. I have about 5,000 followers, something like that. I never really cared much about it, never really put much effort into it. I probably should, but some people who follow me listen to the show, and someone left a note saying, Lubna, are you losing weight? And you know when someone says something and it just kind of gives you a reality check, and I said, oh my gosh, actually, I am. I don't know this person. He is a stranger. But it was a very concerned message. And then I said, actually, Lubna, you're not eating right. So I just want to say I really appreciate appreciate our listeners, our audience, and that comment. Anyways, moving on, let's get into the news. Enough about me. Let's get into the news. Pavel Durov said, I don't own yachts, he said. I don't own yachts, I don't own land or real estate, no big assets. I have a few hundred million dollars and Bitcoin in my bank account that I don't do anything with. He says he wants to feel free, that's why he doesn't want to be held down by big assets. What a good problem to have, Pavel. What a good problem to have. If only that was, you know, one of my problems. Makes sense, though. I think a lot of people nowadays are going for more of, you know, cryptocurrency. They don't want to own yachts. They don't want to own land or real estate. Interesting, though. If you guys haven't watched that interview with Pavel Durov, he's obviously known for not doing many interviews. Do check it out. It's his, I think it's an hour long or 2 hours long maybe with Tucker Carlson. Can't remember exactly how long it was, but very, very interesting because he doesn't normally do these interviews. I wonder though how honest people are in these interviews. Like, does he really, really not own any real estate? And I also think it's a bit sad if you don't own land because, you know, land is associated with roots, heritage, family. So I do find that a little bit sad. Anyways, moving on. Amortization in the private sector. By the way, sorry, shout out, like, I just want to put something out there. If anyone would like to be, not a spy, but if anyone would like to come forward, or just get in touch. Get in touch if you are in touch with Pavel Durov. We would love to have him on the show. We have been trying to get him for years. He's not the easiest get, and I know this is a long shot, but I'm reaching out to our listeners. If you know him, please do reach out to us on Smashy Business or to me directly. Lubna W. Hamdan is my Instagram, or lubna@weareaugustus.com is my email. Please, thank you. Next up, amortization in the private sector. Sheikh Mohammed announced that the number of Emiratis employed in the private sector exceeded 100,000. That is a record, and it's great to see. There have been over 70,000 Emiratis which have joined the private sector companies in the last 2.5 years alone. That's a lot of jobs, and there is an aim as well to have 10% of all private sector jobs be held by Emiratis by the end of 2026. But is that enough, and is it working? It's great to see these numbers. It's great to hit that record, but it's interesting. I was speaking to Omeda. Shout out to Omeda. Omeda used to work at the Alif Foundation, and she used to help guide young Emiratis in their careers. And one main issue she found is that even though the Emiratis themselves are perhaps lost, it's a combination of, you know, they're lost, they don't know where to start, they're eager to learn, but haven't found a mentor, which is why, by the way, the Call Me Mentor app by Waleed Deep, shout out Waleed as well, has just sold. He's just exited that app. And it's a call a mentor app. That just gives you an idea of how big the gap in the market is for mentors. I myself have been very lucky to have a mentor in my career. Very, very lucky. Shout out to Anil as well. But seriously, it is a huge gap in the market. And I just wonder how many of these Emiratis feel that they have anyone to look up to in these workplaces, someone to guide them. The culture is different. So it's just interesting. I think, you know, I think they have so much to offer, really. But perhaps they just haven't had the guidance. Let's put it that way. Perhaps that needs to be looked into. You don't need to list to prove you're number one. That's Mazen Al-Zaidi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's an investor in Tabby through the Saudi-based VC company STV. We all know them. We've all heard of them. They have made so many interesting investments, to say the least, very interesting portfolio. He said on his LinkedIn, when you are the fastest growing fintech company in the region, you don't need a list to tell you that you are the number one Saudi fintech company. Mazen, there is enough space for everyone. But I do love me some business rivalry. So obviously, he was taking a dig at Rasan, which recently listed and garnered $29 billion in orders. That's 129.1 times oversubscribed. That's a lot. Tabby itself raised $1.7 billion from investors, including STV, though we don't know how much STV invested exactly. But Rasan is the largest online insurance company in the kingdom. So it's basically an aggregator. It runs an aggregator that allows users to compare, buy, or renew insurance for vehicles, health, or travel, etc. You know the drill. It's good to see this because I think, you know, obviously this competitiveness just gives it a little bit of fun. And we don't see that often in Saudi, and we don't see that often in the Arab world. But it's nice and good to see. I remember I was on, attending a conference once, and Mohammed Labbar of Amar, of course, a legend really, and a character, he said on stage, I don't want my son to be more successful than I am. Why would I want my son to be more successful than I am? He's like, I love the competition. I want us to compete. He said, yes, I want to be very, very successful. And it was interesting because it caught everyone off guard, that line. But when you think about it, it's fun to have that rivalry. No pressure, Rashid. But yeah, big shoes to fill. I don't think... I mean, let's see. I don't want to say I don't think anyone can fill Mohammed Labbar's shoes, but let's see what Rashid gets up to. Last but not least, said was crisis management or lack thereof. Obviously, Sarwa has been fined by the ADGM's financial regulator for breaching rules on offering securities. We talked about this a little bit last week, but let's get into it just a little bit more, and then maybe through this someone will reach out and tell us a little bit more about it. So the penalty, basically, Sarwar was found making an offer of securities at ADGM without an approved prospectus during April and May last year, breaching the Financial Services Regulatory Authority regulations. It said on Thursday, the regulator said, a prospectus must be approved by the authority and should contain all information that an investor would reasonably require to make an informed decision. Obviously, it also said it held, Sarwa held specific information. I'm not going to get too much into this, but I do want to give you guys a background on this. Sarwa has, by the way, more than 150,000 registered users. It uses algorithms to rate an investor's risk tolerance and assigns them an investment portfolio of exchange-traded funds, charging them lower advisory fees than traditional financial advisors and wealth managers. I remember for my birthday, my sister put a little bit of money for me in a Sarwa account. So that was a lovely birthday gift. I then proceeded to take that money out and spent it in one go on shopping, basically. So anyways, moving on. This is just in line with, great investments made by myself. And apparently, let's go back to Sarwa. Sorry, I was just thinking about like all the mistakes I've made and all the money I could have saved just flew right in my face. I was just remembering all of that. Let's get to Sarwa, right? I was just speaking to someone. I'm not going to mention who because I don't want to get him in trouble, but he gave me a really good example. I said, why do you think that this happened with Sarwa? And I realize I have to be very careful here, but He gave me an example, and this is not specifically about Sarwa, and it's great that they got this fine because the UAE is trying to tighten regulations, but he said a really interesting line. He said, imagine if you're getting to a meeting and you're going to make X amount of millions in that meeting. Would you care if you were driving to that meeting and you sped up and you got a couple of 1,000 dirham fines while driving to this meeting, if you know that at the meeting you're going to get there and you're going to get X amount of millions. So that was interesting to say the least. But what I wanted to say about Sarwa is when I saw this news, I was it was a little bit sad for me because Sarwa does have a special place in my heart, let's put it that way, because of that birthday gift from my sister, because it's a homegrown brand, because I've met one of the co-founders. So it was a shock and a bit of a surprise for me. So then I went to their social media and I tried checking if they had issued an apology, if there was any statement made. And these are young founders, right? Three young founders. There was no apology issued. They are not giving any comments to media. So a little bit disappointing, just a little bit disappointing. But hey, that is what it is, I guess, I suppose. A lot of brands don't do crisis management and don't care to apologize to their customers. No dig at Sarwa whatsoever. But let's see how it goes. Yeah, that's it for today's show, folks. I hope I didn't bore you with my one woman show, but it has been fun. It has been fun, and let's see if I can get you a little bit more business gossip. I'm trying to get some interesting people for you this week. Tomorrow, hopefully, we'll have the football agent that was in the news, in the headlines. You might have heard of him, Saif. We're gonna probably, hopefully, have him tomorrow. So, see you tomorrow. And you know the drill, get us wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on smashy.tv. And thanks again, guys. See you tomorrow.